During this time of the morning, Sarah and I will each be giving talks, and they'll simply be talks without discussion and questions afterward, but there'll be time for that in the evening when that talk happens. So you just get to listen and let things drop in, and please sit comfortably as you wish. The bright road that the ancestors knew is right in front of you, in everything you see and hear. A month or so ago, sometime after we put out the announcement about the retreat, Sarah had sent me an email wondering what the retreat might want to call itself, perhaps. And that was a phrase that was up for her, and she said, "Well, what do you think about this?" And so I just put it in my mind pocket and started to hang out with it to see, well, what do I think about it? What does it think about me? And just let it sit there for a little bit and brought it up from time to time. And then things started lighting up and happening. And it's like, oh, yeah. So much so that I said, wait, pause, the retreat's still coming. I don't want to spend too much time with you yet. I want to savor it. And so we kind of agreed to give each other a little space. And I'm also putting that part of this talk on pause until later, because what I found happening in the weeks after that, I noticed that before that engagement and opening up into the territory of the phrase, the koan phrase, there was a little blip that was barely noticeable, because it's a common thing that happens. And I got curious about that little blip, and I knew the flavor of it, but I wanted to look more into it. So it's like I'm taking this little blip of time and stretching it out like an accordion and looking at that territory, undoing all the folds and looking at it. And it's a particular mind habit that I recognize in myself, but I imagine this particular one may seem recognizable to most of us. And I'll get to that its particular flavor in a moment, but I'm just curious about these mind habits that we have and how, this was just a little blip there. So it can be quite subtle when they show up. And I think they're subtle by design, these mind habits, by their own design. And I've looked at two ways that they come across subtly, and so they can't be noticed as much. The first is that they are a habit. And habits tell us this is just how it is. And I'm here because that's what happens. So they don't want us to question them. They just say, okay, this is how it is. This is how it's always been. Let me be. Yeah? So they weren't always there, but they inserted themselves and then asserted themselves as this is just how it is. And then once they have that place, they like to tell stories and create a landscape, a territory about how things are, based on their particular voice, their particular flavor. And they're just saying, well, this is how it is. Yeah? Here's the story. I'm going to tell you how it is. And it covers everything for its duration, so we don't necessarily see the edges of it or the end of it, so we don't question it. It just becomes, this is the way things are, and this is how they are. And we're kind of being told that by the mind habits that we've developed. So looking at that quality of it, I also noticed throughout practice there's an evolution in how we become aware of these mind habits and what happens when we start to see them, notice them, and we can catch the edges and in the midst of the story realize, wait, this is a story. And sometimes we can see, ah, I just saw you pop up. Doesn't necessarily free us of them, but we become more aware of them and we see them. And then because of that, they begin to transform and their power, their ability to take things over starts to shift. They might come on more strongly or come up with new ways to get us. And also, when they get seen and kind of caught in the act, they might lessen and drop off and not take things over completely because we're like, aha, I see you now. So when I've been considering that form of the evolution from being the dominant thing in our consciousness, in our minds, to being caught, and then what happens when it's caught, and how it comes to being that little blip that I experienced. And when I was always thinking about this, pretty quickly a memory came to mind of Monty Python, the Flying Circus. Monty Python's Flying Circus, the television version, so not the movies. So if you're familiar with the Monty Python's Flying Circus, as I am, you might know that for a long time they just had a series of small skits all woven together kind of randomly with strange little in-betweens to link them. But later on, they started doing more of a cohesive set of skits that were telling the same story. And so it was more of a storyline going on there, kind of like a mind habit, yeah. And this one in particular, the one that came to mind is about Dennis Moore. I knew you'd get, at least you, yeah. So Dennis Moore, he's like Robin Hood back in that time. He steals from the rich and gives to the poor. But what he steals are lupins, flowers. And he gives those, takes them from the rich and gives flowers to the poor when they need food and everything else. I thought, well, that's kind of like what the mind habit does. It's like, here's the story. I'm going to steal lupins and give it to you, and this is what you need, and this is what you want. Oh, okay. But aside from that, if you watch the program, Dennis Moore has a theme song that comes up, and that's kind of the segue between each of the skits. They'll show him galloping on his horse through the fields, searching for lupins or lupins in hand, and they sing this little song. And each time the song comes up, it has a different iteration to describe what's happening in that particular moment. So, just to give you an earbug for the day. The first one that comes up, he's galloping on his horse, Concord. So it's Dennis Moore, galloping through the sward. Dennis Moore, on his trusty steed, Concord. He steals from the rich, he gives to the poor. Dennis Moore, Dennis Moore, Dennis Moore. All right. So this is the representation of the mind habit saying, first of all, we sing songs. That's what we do here. That's that initial subtlety. This is just how it is. We sing songs about what we do. And then the other subtlety is, I'm going to tell you the story of what's happening right now. So we sing this song about galloping and being the Robin Hood that he was. So a few different iterations come up, like I said before. Every time starts with Dennis Moore, then fill in the blanks. And it always ends with Dennis Moore. Dennis Moore, Dennis Moore. So it's a new story each time, but it's still got the bookends of that theme. So then this is us catching on to, oh, here's the song. We always sing songs, and there's a story told each time, but it's different. I need to pay attention, and this is how it ends. So we start to catch on to the mind habit doing its thing here. And so there's one time later in the story of Dennis Moore's adventures, that it's like the song, the theme song knows that we're catching on. And so it goes, Dennis Moore, Dennis Moore, the fight. Dennis Moore, Dennis, the night. He him, and give him, Dennis Moore. It's kind of like saying, okay, you've caught on, we do a song and dance, and I don't need to necessarily tell you everything. You know, I'm kind of embarrassed you're seeing what's going on here. Yeah? So that can happen to our mind habits too. We catch on and they start to tell a story and they're like, oh, you're seeing me tell the story. Yeah? And then even later, because this has happened, we see Dennis Moore up on his steed, galloping away. And at this point, the mind habit of the theme song has been called out. So it simply goes, Dennis Moore, etc., etc. And that's where it stops. It's like, you know how it goes. And kind of, okay, that's all that's needed. I don't need to tell you anymore. You caught me. So that's what can lead to that little blip. It doesn't need to tell the rest of the story. It knows, yeah, you've seen me, yeah? So, the particular mind habit that I noticed that popped up with this phrase, now even though it says clearly in this phrase, that bright road is right in front of you and everything you see and hear. There's this, yeah, but, you know, I'm looking and I don't see that things are very bright. Maybe the ancestors could see a brightness here, but you can't. Me talking to myself. And what's happening there is this discounting and distancing of myself from what's been stated here. Trying to say how, well, that's not you though. You know, it's the ancestors, but even though it's in front of everything you see and hear, supposedly from what it says on the paper, are you sure? Because, yeah, it doesn't look that bright. Then it goes, well, how come the ancestors could see the brightness and I can't? It's like, oh, well, they lived in different times. They weren't facing what I'm facing. It was easier for them, or they're the ancestors. You know, they had something that I don't. How could it be in a weed whacker? They didn't have to deal with weed whackers back there. Then I'm going, well, but the phrase says it's in everything that I see and hear. And I'm facing life as they were facing life, and they still saw it. Yeah, but maybe it was their eyes. Maybe they had the light in their eyes already. You don't have the light in your eyes, Andrew, but the ancestors had light in their eyes, so everything they saw was a bright road. It lit up because of them. It wasn't the road itself. Yeah? It's all those little things that the mind habit wants to tell me to, again, this isn't you. It's not yours. Distance myself from it. By time or location, whatever conditions that mind habit likes to put upon my experience. So we keep bringing in the phrase to meet that. So it might start off as an argument, the yeah, but, and this is why. But the phrase says, I know, but, you know, all the phrases sound like that. They're fooling you. Whatever it might be. But then it turns into more of a conversation and an exploration, yeah? It's like, well, even though these thoughts come up and say this is why it isn't, I don't have to choose one of these over the other. What if I allow the phrase and the mind habit to exist together and converse and see what they discover, yeah? And eventually, you know, that mind habit may quiet down enough to entertain this and loosen its hold on its territory or the territory, or even release it completely and just be game to explore it with you, or even to set aside any negation that it may bring, and also invite me to not bring in an assertion to say this is so, but instead we become one just looking and seeing, what is this bright rose? Who are these ancestors? As I see and hear things, we're looking and inquiring into it, yeah? Then we both, or we one, or the experience that is me, you know, we kind of take a side seat, a back seat. We sit back and we partner in the experience of what is happening, and then we just see, well, how is this? Let the phrase dance through our experience, not trying to force it to be so, yet not trying to force it not to be so, just allowing it. Yeah. So I think a lot of the mind habits we have are like this, both in how they begin and how they get established, and in how they get undone and invited to partner with us, to kind of return to their place within us rather than try to dominate the territory and explain it to us. And what I appreciate is that we don't have to get rid of the mind habit completely. It's okay for it to be there, do its little blip, and it's et cetera, et cetera, or yada, yada, yada. It can still be there, and it doesn't have to be a problem that interferes with things. It can just say, yeah, I'm here, and we're doing this all together. All of the mind habits and all of the non-mind habits, all the openness and the seeing and the being, we do it together. And maybe someday, this particular one will no longer blip. Maybe it will just, yeah, I'm kind of done, and it won't happen anymore. But I kind of hope it doesn't, because I appreciate it, yeah? It's like, oh, you're still there. You're my friend now, you know? You're not trying to dominate the territory, and you don't have to leave either. We can get along together. And kind of like, if you know the story of Mara, who tempted the Buddha and then was defeated, there's an image of him, like, head down, just rubbing a stick and drawing on, oh, you caught me, I'm done, and leaving. But then years later, Mara comes back to see the Buddha, and Buddha's like, oh, my old friend, how are you? So even Mara, the tempter, didn't leave forever. He learned he had a place as well. So maybe you have a mind habit that has a story that if there's a mind habit showing up, then I'm not done, and there's a problem here. It's like, well, you can stop that story and just notice, well, what is it like to allow the habit that's here to be here, and give it the space without trying to get rid of it, and just to see it and see what you might invite in its own evolution and transformation. So I invite you to, with our phrase, the bright road that the ancestors knew is right in front of you in everything you see and hear. You may already be in that wider space of inquiry and holding it up to your experience and seeing what comes to meet you. But I invite you to lean back to where things were when you first encountered the phrase. Or maybe you read it again and you notice a blip or something that happens. Be curious about that. Lean into that. Look at what's happening there. See if you have a mind habit that has come to meet this and trying to bring its own narrative to it. Or not. But try to come back there and engage and let things open up from that place of not competing with the mind habit, but partnering, and see where they go from there. And as you're sitting here, you may even be curious about what was the moment before the blip even happened. Can you find that place? What happens if you lean back and anchor there and then come forth? Let things unfold and meet you. Not necessarily just with this phrase. This is the phrase we're taking up. But whatever you're working with, whatever stories are in your head about yourself that you tell yourself, what if you go back to the beginning when the source of the story starts to bubble up? Be curious about what's happening there. And then what if you can get back to the point just before it bubbles up and see what that's like? Yeah? So I'm going to pull a Paul Harvey, and this evening, the rest of the story of my adventures with the bright road that the ancestors knew. Right in front of me, and everything I drink with bubbles. All right, thank you.